the woman he had fallen in love with all those years ago. The woman who had moved out of his life and gone back to her native Oklahoma to be a United States senator. He nicked himself. Damn. Love hurts, he thought. When Dan came out of the bathroom, Vicky was sitting up in bed, the sheet modestly tucked across her bosom, chattering into her cell phone. She smiled at him without missing a syllable. Dan motioned for her to put the phone down. She did, covering the tiny mouthpiece with her free hand.
I've got to get back to my office in Houston, she said, or else...
Don't you want to see the rocket launch?
Rocket launch?
Nodding, Dan said, if the weather holds, we'll be launching an OTV around 10 this morning.
What's an OTV?
Orbital Transfer Vehicle. A little shuttle bus that can take crews from low Earth orbit up to geosync where the power satellite is.
Geosynchronous orbit,
Vicky said, as if answering a test question.
That's the 24-hour orbit, 22,000 miles above the equator.
It's 22,300, Dan corrected silently. But what the hell, she's got the basic idea.
They want me back at the office as soon as I can get there, she said.
You want to get connected with Aviation Week? Cover this launch for them as a freelancer. Make an impression. He could see the wheels churning in her head. It took her all of 3 seconds to put the phone back to her ear and say,
I'm going to stay for Astro's launch of a rocket. Yes, a rocket launch. They're putting up an OTV. Orbital Transfer Vehicle. It'll make great footage.
By 8:45, they were back in the Forest Green Jaguar, speeding along the empty road the few miles to the Astro complex. Dan had the top down. It was cloudy and cool, with the wind whipping past. Hope there's no problem with the weather, he said to himself. Once in his office, Dan's executive assistant brought them a breakfast of coffee and English muffins, an obvious frown on her face. Jealousy? Dan wondered. No, he decided. April was young and popular and so good-looking that even the rednecks forgot she was an African-American. Could she be suspicious of this news reporter? April's damn sharp, Dan said to himself. She's got sensitive antennae. When he led Vicky up to the roof of the hangar, the clouds were breaking up, and the sun was beginning to heat the morning. To his surprise, Dan saw a thin haze of fog over by the beach.
Are all these buildings yours?
Vicky asked, turning a full circle. All my domain, Dan said. All my domain, Dan replied. As far as the eye can see, almost.
Wow.
He pointed to the wall of live oaks and pines off to the right. Those trees mark the end of Astro Corporation's property and the edge of the state park. Turning, he identified for her the office building that rose 4 stories on one side of the hangar B on the other side, and the machine shops and assembly buildings beyond it. And there, Dan stretched his arm, is the bird we're going to launch this morning. 2 miles distant, the rocket booster stood tall and slim against the brightening morning sky. It was painted stark white with a big Astro corporate logo stenciled in Kelly green along its upper length.
That's not the space plane,
Vicky said. No, this is an unmanned launch. We're putting up an OTV, like I told you.
There are people up there?
Shaking his head. Nope. The satellite's unattended now, waiting for a crew to go up and finish the final assembly tasks before we turn her on and start generating energy.
When you send a crew up, they'll go in the space plane?
Right. As soon as we find out what went wrong in the test flight and get the fault fixed.
But the space plane only goes to low orbit,
Vicky said, obviously trying to get her facts straight.
While the power satellite's up in geosync orbit.
Which is why we need the OTV, said Dan, to transfer work crews from the low orbit to geosync. She nodded her understanding, and then turned to look out at the booster. Dan expected the usual comment about a phallic symbol. Instead, Vicky said,
I don't see any vapor coming from it. No frost where the liquid oxygen tanks are.
His estimation of her climbed several notches. It's not a liquid-fueled rocket. Solid fuel, like the old Minuteman missiles. Just a big, dumb, cheap booster. Fire it off like a skyrocket.
Oh.
Pointing again, he explained, the upper stage has all the sophistication. Guidance, rendezvous and docking systems, all that. The first stage just belts her the hell off the planet and then plops down into the Atlantic.
You mean the Gulf? No, the Atlantic, nearly 1,000 miles from here. We send a command to break up the booster shell once she's exhausted her fuel and disengaged from the upper stage. Pieces burn up in the atmosphere, mostly. Some small debris falls into international waters.
Then why do you need the space plane? She asked.
To carry people safely and economically. The big dumb booster's fine for carrying freight. We need something better to get people up there. And back down again.
Oh, back down.
That's the trick. We've been leasing Russian spacecraft and launching them from an ocean-going platform that a private company operates. Damned expensive. If we're going to generate electricity at a competitive price, we've got to bring down the costs of sending people to the power set. That's what the space plane is for.
I see, said Vicky.
She took her miniature camera from her handbag, then slipped the bag over her shoulder.
How long until the launch?
Dan fished his cell phone from his shirt pocket and called the launch center. Everything was going on schedule. Solid fuel boosters were simpler to operate than the more complex liquid-propelled rockets. The launch countdown was going smoothly. Vicky began panning across the skyline of square, blocky buildings. She took close-ups of Dan and zoom shots of the booster standing on its launch pad. The clock ticked down. April came up at T-minus 10 minutes with two of the FAA investigators with her. Dan saw little knots of people clustering on the roofs of Hangar B and the office building. 5. 4. Dan felt his innards tightening. No matter how many launches he had seen, how many he had participated in, there was always this heart-thumping anticipation. 1. 0. A blossom of flame flared at the bottom of the rocket's tall cylindrical shape. Dan felt the building beneath his feet rumble. The rocket stirred, lifted slowly, majestically. The roar of a million demons carried across the miles between them, growing louder as the rocket rose higher, higher, gaining speed, a brilliant stream of fire rushing from its tail. Wave after wave of throbbing, pulsing sound washed over them, a physical thundering that shook the bones and tingled every nerve in the body. The rocket was hurtling through the sky. Up, 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 growing smaller. The throaty roar of its engines diminishing now, deepening into a rolling, distant thunder. And then it was gone. The tiny, blazing star of the rocket exhaust winked out. The sound dissipated. The sky seemed suddenly empty. The launch pad deserted. It took Dan a few moments to get his breathing back to normal. When he looked at Vicky Lee, he saw that her eyes were full of tears.
"I've never seen anything,"
she said in a near whisper, her voice faltering.
"It's an experience."
Dan nodded and suddenly realized that Jane had never seen a rocket launch. Not one. Matagorda Island, Texas. Within a few minutes, though, Vicky recovered from the emotional rush. Suddenly, she was in a mad hurry to get back to her office in Houston. Chattering frantically into her cell phone as she scampered back down to Dan's office, Vicky grabbed a gulp of warm orange juice that had been left on his desk and then headed for the door. Dan hustled after her, asking April to set up a corporate plane to take Vicky to Houston, then drove her to the airstrip in his convertible.
"Thanks, Dan. That was wonderful,"
she said as he walked her to the waiting twin-jet Citation. She gave him a peck on the cheek. No sentimental goodbyes, no "when will I see you again." Just as well, Dan said to himself as he followed her down to the parking lot. Just as well. Dan watched the plane take off, then drove back to his office the long way, around the airstrip and along the shore road, with the Gulf of Mexico lapping placidly against the white sand of the beach. Much of Matagorda Island had once been a ranch, its scrubby vegetation used as grazing for cattle. Decades earlier, a real pioneer in the space industry had launched a rocket from the island, one of the very first launches by a private industrial firm rather than a government agency. Dan had bought the old ranch when he first started Astro Manufacturing Corporation. He had bulldozed a 3-mile-long landing strip and thrown up the hangars, test stands, and cinder block office buildings that comprised Astro's headquarters complex. The region's environmentalists